pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Here.
Crunch?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Page? Solomon?
Here.
Quorum present?
I make a motion at this time to excuse Commissioner Page. Give a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Moving on to the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by approving non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any of the items or item on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have item A, approval of the November 19th City Commission Work Session Meeting Minutes as presented. We have approval of the November 26th City Commission Regular Meeting Minutes as presented. And we have approval of the creation of a new four-year retirement vesting period for the Main Street Executive Director position and authorize the City Manager and City Clerk Treasurer to execute the required documents.
I have a question on number C, so I'd like to move that to new business if we could. And I'd make a motion then to approve the consent agenda items A and B.
Second.
Okay. We have item C moving into the end of the agenda. And a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Moving on to hearing citizens' comments on non-agenda items. Yes, sir. And please state your name and.
Bill Corey. I'm here about the bike path from West Michigan into town. And has there been a decision made on that yet? On the location and what type of roadway they're going to have on that?
There has not been a decision made, and our intent is to really make this a wide open community decision with lots of more forums and decision makings involving the homeowners along the way. Scott or Mike, do you want to address the timetable?
At this point, we're receiving feedback from the Planning Commission and the Park and Recreation Board. We had a bit of a discussion about it at our last City Commission meeting, but as you mentioned, we're kind of just beginning the discussion at this point. And there will be other opportunities for public input.
Okay, yes, because we live in those few blocks, and all the residents we've spoken with weren't aware of anything, but as you state, it's just in the planning stages. And it's the customer or the homeowner will be notified, or how will it be presented for us to get a feedback on that?
We will be advertising all the meetings. I think we have personally made a commitment to involve the homeowners, Mike.
Yeah, all the properties that are abutting proposed routes, we'll get a direct mail to them as well.
Okay.
So if there is if you want to make sure that you are on that mailing list, if you see either myself, the city clerk, or Tim Foss in the back row there, and we can make sure that we get your name and address to make sure that you're on the list.
Okay. Was there a master plan when the bike path was started to go from where it is presently into town, or is this just something new that's been taken on as a challenge?
No, it's been discussed about having some type of a continuation of a path coming in, but any formal plans have not been created.
Okay. All right. And timetable, it's years out or year or two? Or?
We don't have a timetable at this point. I would assume it's probably a year or two out, but I couldn't guarantee that at this point. It will ultimately depend on what the community's and the City Commission's decision is.
Okay.
The planning stage is current. Yes, I agree.
Okay, all right. As the homeowners in that area just would like input and you know, we haven't seen anything from public input to address that. So if it's in the planning stages and we will be notified, that's fair to us. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments on non-agenda items? Thank you. Moving on to any correspondence?
No, sir.
Moving on to city manager's report, Mike.
A few items for you. I'll start with some construction updates. The pavilion project continues to move forward. Since our last meeting, the new natural gas supply line for the building has been installed. That'll help us with the heating and cooking operations. And there's been some electrical wiring installed on the interior as well, too. The trusses for the covered picnic areas that will be going out on the east side of the building have arrived. Those are inside the building, keeping them out of the weather at this point, as have the new rooftop furnaces. Those have arrived and have yet to be placed. On the Boeing Valley Trail, that project also continues to advance. With the boardwalk section at Boeing Mountain pretty much complete, and they're now working on a small railroad bridge that was just east of Northern Logistics. They're in the process of working on that. We received an update with regards to the ongoing tennis court corrections. Harbor Excavating will be removing and replacing all of the asphalt in the spring per the recommendations of Payne and Dolan. And then the new asphalt will cure for 7 to 10 days, and then Racket Sports will be applying the coating and the paint. Those will be weather dependent, and we'll give you some more timelines in the spring as that project continues to move forward. We had a good initial turnout for our recreation plan update and the open the public input sessions for the open space at Avalanche property. On those design concepts, last Wednesday, we had 27 people that attended. Some of our next steps are, specifically with regard to the recreation master plan, is begun its 30-day review period yesterday. It is available online and here at the City Hall for people to look at. That review period will continue through January 9th. It'll come to the City Commission at our meeting on January 14th, where we'll also be talking to the Park and Recreation Board. We'll have a public hearing and hopefully adoption at that time. Then we have to complete some paperwork with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources and then upload the plan by February 1st. You may have noticed that yesterday the ice pole in Sunset Park was installed, and that should be operational before the end of the week. And we have to expect some cold temperatures until the weekend, and then we'll get above freezing again. The DPW is monitoring conditions and the weather forecast so that we make plans with regards to operations and ice making at Avalanche as well, too. We expect the fire department's new side-by-side ATV that we dealt with at our last city commission meeting to arrive sometime this week. There's been additional information with regards to further remediation steps and work at the Boyd Automotive site on M75 South, the old Ray Acres. We've been advised by the state that they'll be taking additional steps next year to help address the issues at that site. And may they anticipate beginning injections in about 40 locations around the site to reduce the actual level of contamination there. Once the injection is complete, an improved on-site stormwater system will then be completed. This additional work they anticipate will probably take a couple months. Since they got the air circulation system and vapor barriers in place, they have received occupancies for the building there. Two businesses have already occupied rental space at that location, and a third is preparing to open around the first of the year. So all that progress has been made possible by the cooperative efforts of the owner, the state, and the city. New improved temporary lighting and power plugs have been installed in the museum space downstairs, and that area is currently being painted to make it more useful for fundraising and collection cataloging effort. Tonight, Boeing Valley Township will be holding a public hearing on emergency medical services reorganization at 6:30 p.m. That will be taking place in their township hall. And our marijuana public engagement Management Task Force will hold their first meeting tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. I'd like to point out, for those that are keeping track, that just about almost exactly 17 years ago today, on December 10th, 2002, your predecessors, all except for Ron, in the city commission were voting to hire me as their city manager, and then they passed a motion, a second motion, to put me immediately into work after that noon city commission meeting. So it's been my pleasure to work here for the last 17 years. Look forward to starting the 18th year and many more things to come. It's amazing all the progress that we've made as a community during this period of time, and the opportunity to still await us. So I thank Ron and the previous commissioners for giving me the opportunity, and you folks for keeping me on board. So other than that, I'd like, since our next regular scheduled meeting isn't until the new year on the 14th, I'd like to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. If there are any questions or additional items you'd like some information on, I'd be glad to try and provide.
Thank you, Mike. Anything questions?
I just had one question, Mike. Up at Avalanche now, we're storing picnic tables and trash cans on the side of the building there. I don't think we've done that in the past. Is there a reason for doing that?
I would refer that to Tim.
Yeah, it's basically just space. The benches and some of the garbage cans used to be stored at the property where the dog park is, and we made a commitment to clean that area up this year for the commitment was made many years ago to clean that area out. This year we delivered on doing that for the local residents. We're not using that area for outdoor storage anymore.
Wasn't there storage in the cold storage building up at North Point for that sort of thing, or is that used for something different?
That's currently being used for many of the museum artifacts.
Oh, okay.
Anything else? At this time, I'd like to make a recognition. Scott and George, come forward.
The city would just like to take the opportunity to recognize Jordan Collier for his 16 years of service on the planning commission. Over that time, the city has saw a lot of great positive improvements, and a lot of that has to do with the work of the planning commission and your efforts. And just personally, I would like to thank you. If there's a more positive person around, I have not. And I just think you've been just a great asset to the city and the community with your service. And as I mentioned last meeting when we recognized Joe, this is a volunteer board. So this is hours of time that you're spending, that you're giving to the community, and we really appreciate that. So thank you, George, for your service.
I'd like to present this certificate. It reads, Certificate of Appreciation and Recognition presented to George Ellinger for the over 16 years of dedicated service to the Boynton City Planning Commission, the City of Boynton City, and its citizens. Presented on the 26th day of November 2019, signed by Mike and Cindy and our commissioners. Thank you, George.
There
you go.
All I can say is I've enjoyed the 16 years. I have a lot of love and respect for the people in this community, and thank you for the support that you've given me as well.
Thank you. I didn't mention George. Now I'm a lone old timer, so you and Joe left me.
I was thinking about that, Tom. Good luck.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. We have in our packets for our information, so we know what our fellow board members are doing. We have the draft minutes from the November 7th. Main Street Board Meeting. We have the draft minutes from November 14th, Parks and Recreation Commission Meeting. We have the draft minutes from the November 18th Planning Commission meeting, draft minutes from the November 18th Historical Commission meeting, and draft minutes of the November 21st Historic District meeting. Commissioners, are there any questions or comments? Okay. We have no old business. Moving on to new business.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. As the Commission's aware, there was a couple of concerns raised last year regarding our snow removal plans. Both those plans carried out by the Public Works Department and also some of the private contractors that haul snow from various commercial businesses in the downtown area. The first issue, however, really dealt with stockpiling of snow in the open space and understanding that we expect construction, you know, hopefully to begin this coming year on the open space. We're not going to use that any longer as a place where we can potentially store snow throughout the winter. As a result, we'll need to haul the snow out more frequently from the downtown area as opposed to kind of shuttling it to a location and then moving it out at a later date. The second issue dealt with trucks on East Main Street, particularly trucks during the hours of the morning between midnight and 4 or 5 a.m. and some complaints that arose as a result of trucking primarily from the private haulers, not from the city crews. So to address both those issues, we have solicited prices from local trucking companies to help us haul that snow. We need larger trucks than the city currently owns in order to make that operation efficient. So I contacted six different companies, and of the six that I reached out to, two provided me with pricing. Many of the trucking companies don't operate their trucks during the wintertime. They lay the drivers off and put trucks into storage. However, I did get pricing from both Hilltop Excavating and MDC Contracting for a price of $85 per hour. That includes the truck and the driver. So I'm recommending that we contract with, or the City Commission contracts with, MDC. They're a very reliable company that has proven a good record of customer service to the city. They were the contractor that did the Cedar and Terrace project this year, and I think that they would work out well for us to provide this service. And then the second thing would be that we limit the hours of use of the snow disposal site at the airport, so that we are not hauling any snow between the hours of 10 p.m. and 5 a.m., thereby reducing the noise and reducing the concerns that came up throughout last winter. So those are the two primary recommendations that are in here. For any contractors that do want to use our disposal site at the airport, I'm also recommending that we institute a $250 fee to help us cover the costs associated with cleaning up the material that's left. If you can imagine when the Family Fair Plaza, when that snow melts, there's a fair bit of debris in it just because of the commercial nature of the operation, and somebody has to clean that up, and that falls back on Public Works to take care of that in the spring. So my recommendation would be first that we approve, or the City Commission approve, the snow removal plan as discussed and issue a purchase order contract to MDC for the hourly rates that were included in its proposal of December 4th.
Thank you, Devin. At this time, is there any comments from staff and or the public? Okay. Let's go to board deliberation, Brian.
This seems like a reasonable process to, you know, change to, and I support the recommendations presented.
Thank you. Dean?
Yeah, I agree. It looks good. I was wondering on the fee schedule, since the storage that we're providing over at the airport is for private benefit, correct? That, or the fee structure, fairly represents all of the costs that's incurred by the city to support that, that function, or rather that needs to be something that would need to be revisited.
At this time, it really just reflects the costs associated with cleanup. It's not intended to be a lease or rental or a use fee per se. That $250, presuming it's two or three contractors that will use it, would just simply cover the cost to clean up the site in the spring.
Tim, is this any different than what we were doing a few years ago with a private contractor?
It's similar.
Is that why we started to dump snow over here, is because we couldn't haul it to the airport because we didn't have that private contractor?
Yes, last year we did not have that arrangement in place. And it was also basically an effort of the staff to try to more efficiently focus on plowing as opposed to hauling. So disposing it close by was faster during the emergency, and then hauling it out later, not quite as efficient in the overall scheme, but it was more effective at the time.
How many private haulers are there that go up to the airport?
There's two or three.
So with this truck now, it'll be first thing in the morning where the snow will be hauled out of the downtown. So will the sidewalks be blown off first into the street, and then it'll be loaded into the truck, so there's not a big, you know, how will that work?
Right, yeah, the way the procedure works is at 1 a.m., that's the trigger for the call-out. The first person that comes in is the operator that runs the snow blower. He blows it into the parking spots. Then the plow trucks, small plow trucks, come in and move it out towards the middle of the road. The big plow trucks windrow it, and then the blower, the big snow blower, will come in behind it and load it into these contracted dump trucks that will take it to the airport.
The only other thing is there's a big pile of snow usually on East and Main Street, kitty corner to the school property there. Does the city haul that out every now and then, or does that just stay there all winter long?
Periodically.
That's all I have.
Okay. I'm in support of this. I appreciate staff addressing an issue, and I appreciate the open space being open. So I'm also in favor. So with no further discussion, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the winter removal snow pan.
Second.
Is that complete enough? The motion. Because there's two aspects to it.
You want to consider, Ron, the written the contract. Let's see.
And then there's the hour or the $250 fee. Is that all part of one motion? For the. Is it clear, Cindy, with the motion?
I think it was. You probably, if you're in agreement, you're probably going to want to use the entire plan and award the purchase contract.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm in agreement if you want to expand it.
Okay. Can you read the motion, Cindy, please?
Well, the motion I'm assuming that you want to use is to approve the winter snow removal plan and award a purchase order contract to MDC Contracting of Petoskey based on the hourly rates, and authorize the city manager to execute the documents. Is that
okay? Much, yep. Just for clarification. Thank you.
I'll second that.
Okay, now we have a second. Any further discussion? Yes, Mike.
And I just want to make sure that even though it wasn't specifically mentioned in the recommendation, that does include the establishing the $250 annual fee.
Right.
Okay.
As long as that's a consensus of the group.
So no noted, that would be part of the motion too, Cindy?
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin? Copeland?
Aye.
Brunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on to item D, water rate study proposal.
Mark?
Mayor?
Baker Tilly, the municipal advisors, they prepared a rate study for us as part of the SAW grant on the wastewater side, and, you know, did a very thorough analysis of the financial status and rate structure of the system, which is going to help us moving forward. We will be getting a briefing, the commission will, at the beginning of the budget session from these guys, Baker Tilly, and they did such a thorough job, and it's going to help us a lot. I feel that we should have them do one for the water system as well. With the wastewater, when the majority was paid for through the SAW grant. So we asked them for a proposal for the do a water study, a rate study on the water side, and their proposal to complete it was $10,500, and we do have money available in the budget. So I recommend that we do that, and they could present the water and wastewater rate study together as we're preparing for our upcoming budget session to help set rates and what we need to do moving forward.
Okay, thank you. Any comments from staff or the public? Yes, Mike.
I would just echo Mark's comments. I was really impressed with the review that they did on the wastewater side of it. And after we went through the presentation with them and the review with them, I think it was agreed by all of us, and I think Cindy was included in that as well too, that it really would be helpful and present a full picture if we provided it for both the wastewater and the water. So that's why we're coming to you today, asking for the water side.
Mike, I didn't notice a completion date. Would it be done in time for the March budget process?
Yes, yes. They anticipated that they could get it done very quickly.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to the board deliberation.
Yeah, this is a great question. What's going to be with the sewer spending analysis show? But I guess it's stay tuned and the suspense, and we'd be able to see both at the same time. I think that these are both of these efforts are consistent with our goal of fiscal responsibility and to be forward-looking in the way that we are anticipating future expenses. So, excellent.
Mark, the only question I have, how often would you do this? And you do it now, and is it like every 2 or 3 years or 5 years or 10?
Probably every 5, 6 years, you want to look and see again what you're at.
So,
okay,
right.
Yeah, being this a matching grant, where's our portion that's like 10%?
Not on this one, no. There is no grant of support for the water side, only on the wastewater.
But I thought it was under the SAW grant.
No, the SAW grant only covers the wastewater system and the stormwater system. It does not cover the water system.
Okay.
So this one is independent. This would have to come out of water department revenues.
Good enough.
Thank you. We're still at 50% if you consider the first one that was paid for by the SAW grant, right?
Oh, I think we're doing better than that.
Yeah, so money well spent. I'm full support. I agree with Dean's comments.
I would make a motion then that we approve a proposal from Baker Tilly Municipal Advisors to perform a water rate study for a cost of $10,500 and authorize the city manager to execute the documents.
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Brunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Yes.
Just so we're not keeping Commissioner Salomon and the rest of the commission in too much suspense, just a real 30-second overview. The wastewater fund came in and is in very good financial shape as it is. Our real concern has always been with regards to the water system. That's always appeared to us as been the weaker of the two financially, and really the kind of the holdback with regards to some of our infrastructure projects that we might want to do. So again, I think we'll get good news with regards to the wastewater system, and we'll see what they tell us with regards to the water system.
Thank you, Mike. Let's move on to item C, financial forecast update.
Okay, let me get to the right screen on this.
Okay.
Okay, I'll make some introductory comments for you.
Okay.
As you know, one of our goals is, with regards to financial stewardship and making sure that we're doing everything proper financially. And we've got an excellent budgeting process, which kind of helps us with our current years. We've got a great history with regards to our audits and our look back. We have approximately 20 years of history that we can look back to at this point. It gives us a really good information as kind of historical trends and where we've been. What we've always looked at, especially over the last few years, is to see if we can expand that and come up with a vision that kind of, based on different scenarios that we could apply to our forecasting, could give us some models or some ideas of what things look like in the years ahead. And for the for over a year now, Mike Wiesner, who's had experience working on similar programs or similar plans in Charlevoix, the city of Charlevoix, where he was the manager for quite some time and other communities that he's worked with, has been working and really digging deep into our finances, looking at our history, creating formulas and tools to help us look at the trends and forecast going forward. And what you see before you today is the first part of those draft results that we have. Mainly you see a little bit with regards to the DDA, but the main area that we wanted to focus on is some of the looking at with regards to the general fund. And you have 20 pages of that that show where you're at. The first page that we have up on the screen here is kind of a summary page of the general fund, where it's looking at all the various areas that make that up, whether it's legislative planning, various things that you will see as we go through our, or have seen as we go through our budgets, things that make up those departments that make up the general fund. And we look at totaling those expenditures, looking at what type of revenues we can anticipate coming in, and then towards the bottom of the page, you'll see basically the summary of where our fund balance began that year, what would the impact we see on the fund balance, and where we anticipate the fund balance ending up. At the very bottom, you'll see basically the commission's goal of maintaining a 25% fund balance, a rainy day fund, or just a kind of in-case savings account, and what that does, what we do financially with regards to that going forward. What we've given you today is the forward-looking results of the general fund and many of the accounts in it. Behind that are just tons and tons of pages and documents and charts and things of that nature that go into the research that Mike has done to build up the formulas behind this that generate these numbers. Staff spent time last week and has spent time over the last year or so working with Mike on this, but last week we kind of took it all together, came up with results, and went through it. And it's even hard for us at times to follow it. And I didn't want this to get so complicated that we were going to get lost in the detail of it. But I want you to see what the end result is going to be, and hopefully how it can be useful for us going forward. Now, Mike's going to take a few minutes and kind of go through some of the information that we have before you today. I didn't anticipate it to be an in-depth. We're going to dig down to every nook and cranny with regards to it. But we wanted to introduce it to you, give you an update on it so you can see that it's basically near completion at this point. And it's a useful tool that we anticipate we'll be able to update as we go forward and try different scenarios and formulas going forward to come up with where we think where we will be going in the future. So there's a lot more detailed information, but again, I think that would be more to confuse us than anything else. We believe in the numbers that have been generated up to this point. All the department heads have spent lots of time, hours and hours with Mike individually, making sure that he has a good understanding of what's going on in their departments and their financial implications, and then hopefully that'll have the flip side that the department heads will have confidence in the system as well as the commission going forward. So that's a brief brief summary with regards to it. Depending on, how the commission feels today, if there's a need for future meetings with regards to this, either as part of or somehow tied to the budget process, we can do those as well, too. So, unless there's any questions initially at this point for me, I will turn it over to Mike and let him kind of walk us through what we have today.
That's it. The floor is yours, Mike. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I want to initially thank you for the opportunity. I spent a lot of time on details and very comfortable with the figures. Plus or minus 5%, hopefully on the plus side. Also apologize for the report you got about a week ago. We were still figuring out how to project for the police. We had to appoint somebody, assistant chief, and he had been receiving overtime in the 30% range, and what would his salary be? And I thought we were covered, told like that when I gave him the preliminary of this, I was wrong in looking at the police.
Mike, just for everybody's information, the city commission only received your final numbers here, so they haven't seen the...
Oh, they didn't see the original.
No, so they didn't know you made a mistake until you just changed based on the district commission.
Well, while I'm there, I'll still tell you about police. When they're short people, obviously the overtime goes up dramatically. Through August the 18th of this year, when Officer Reinsberg resigned with the five people versus six, we still ran 19% overtime. And then when we went down to four on August 18th through November 8th, we averaged about 21%, or no, 22% at least. In a normal year, looking at the history, when we had five officers, we averaged about 10%. So there's a big difference there. The police budget in the first year or two are affected by these overtime numbers. The real issue, when you get a young officer on board, Chief Spade tells me that they really can't be left alone for quite a bit of time. So not only are you incurring the overtime, but you're incurring the cost of that base. So for next year, for the four full-timers, we're still using 16%, and then a lesser figure for the new. But then hopefully another year out, we can use a 10% figure, which I did, and hopefully that will carry through. So that's it on that. Incidentally, I have hearing aid problems. If I say what, please bear with me. The other thing is I used a lot of 3 and 4% increases in places like restroom cleaning. Those rates are going up. The trades are going up. And I compare those 3 and 4% increases to the 2% we used on property tax. And that's obviously a diverging curve over time. So just be aware of that. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, but you got to get there first. In 24-25 is the last year you'll be paying down the MERS annual payment. And that year, you show about $165,000 revenue over expense. In that same year, there's about $688,000 in capital items. So really, for that year, you could break even and you still spend $750,000. So there is a hope out there, but the numbers earlier do cause some issues. Any questions?
If you look a couple pages in, let me see if I can get to it quickly. And I've just gone in a couple pages to page 3 of the 20 on the property tax revenues. You can see some of the, after the descriptive column, you have the account code, the description, and then you have a column that's labeled factor. And that basically identifies the assumption that we've used and plugged into going forward with regards to this. So, like for property tax collections, there's a 2% increase that's built into these going forward. For delinquent personal property taxes, we've kept it flat, so we don't anticipate any significant change there going forward as well. If you go down a few more pages, on page 6 of 20, and the numbers are up in the top right corner, on some, this is still revenues, the third one down, you'll see that cable franchise fees, we anticipate that those are going to start decreasing by about $1,000 a year going forward as fewer people are subscribing to cable and get their video sources from other opportunities, internet, things of that nature that don't have a franchise fee associated with that. So I just wanted to let you see that, again, where that column is labeled factor, or it's not labeled as it is on this page 6, that is basically the assumption that is being used. And those variables, those things can be changed and varied, so we can try 3% or 2.5% on that revenue one that I showed you sooner or earlier, or we could change, or, you know, if we see that after a couple of years, the cable franchise fees are decreasing faster than 1,000, or maybe they're holding firmer than we anticipate, we can modify that going forward as we get some more experience with it.
Before we get off the revenues, information you don't have is major local streets. We've kept the Act 51 money at the same amount, a flat figure, and that we plan to receive this year. Hopefully the state will be doing something to help you out in that area. So that's more of a conservative situation there. And also we did the same with revenue sharing, as you said, we kept that flat. I don't know.
So, Mike, would this include, like with the lakes, the loss on Lake Street, any additional property tax coming from that development, or like in the DDA where properties are coming, One Water Street, some of those projects are coming off that rather than going for the brownfield that they're going to come into the city?
No, we didn't, but that's something that we should look at. Absolutely.
Okay. So like on the loss on Lake Street with the Public Act 210, that rate's basically going to be fixed for a number of years. So it would actually, those impacts will actually be beyond the range of these years that we're looking at on this. Some of those other properties will be coming off probably within this range, though.
I was wondering, how does this relate to the MSU MML project that we're... How does this relate to the MSU and MML project that we're talking about, or that we've agreed to, and they were going to help us look at our fiscal future as well?
They've indicated that they've booked other communities in front of us, so we're kind of on a wait list to see if we get their full range of services. At this point, we're basically able to take advantage of their general sessions, but they will not be coming in and doing an in-depth portion, at least in this coming fiscal year.
So are we just looking at revenues here, Mike?
Doesn't predict revenue sharing going up, no.
But as far as expenses, I mean, do we know what capital expenditures are going to be? Like, does you mentioned the police department. Do we have an inventory of all their equipment
when
it needs to be replaced?
We've got capital plans behind all the items which mirror the capital plan that was in this year's budget. So that would be doing all the projects in this year's budget. There's capital plans for streets and sidewalks, for parks, for police.
But is there like an inventory of all the like cars in the police department and the cycle of when they need to be replaced so you can anticipate that? And
yes, I got that from the police department.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we tried to build in those big expenditures, Hugh, to the best of our knowledge at this time with regard to it. And there's still some other projects. I mean, we obviously don't have anything for future capital outlays like the open space or improvements for Avalanche.
Right.
I don't think we have a full-blown case for with regards to what we're doing with the marina yet as well, too. But beginning on page 9 of the packet that you have with you, it starts going into the expenditures. And when there are significant capital outlays or we see things that we're anticipating will need to be replaced, whether it's, you know, vehicles or other type of equipment, Mike Smith with the department heads to try and incorporate those as well, too. And again, we think that system, as we've been working on improving the capital, capital improvement program over the last few years, that will get stronger with time as well, too.
So if I'm looking at this correctly, the bottom line here, at least in this current draft form, projects us substantially reducing our fund balance substantially below that 25% target that we had set. Quite substantial.
What page are you looking at?
It'd be at 1 of 20, the GF 1 of 20. It's just the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of negative numbers. Thinking about using this tool as a way to project a longer-term way of reducing that impact, or is this just something that is this more than just informational? I guess we do.
You can look at that. Obviously, the further out we get, don't see a lot of things will happen between now and then. I think in describing 24-25, in which you had $688,000 available, that tells you you're coming out of it after the MERS payoff. Obviously you can't do all of it, but all of it is priced in here with the capital sheets that the department heads did and spent some time on for the budget.
I had the opportunity when I was with the city of Fenton to work with financial forecasts, and they still do have a very excellent financial forecast. Paul Stoddard, who we've used for some of our financial planning in years past, Stoddard Barch and Associates, and now called PFN, did that plan for us in that community. And coming on as an assistant city manager and then a city manager for Fenton, when looking at the financial forecast, I mean, looking at it, it was almost as much doom and gloom as it is here. And it almost, from a management perspective, kind of make you think, how in the heck are we going to get through that? But what it does, what I think it does, is it helps the staff, and then the commission make some policy decisions on an annual basis, that they make some decisions as to, maybe we're not going to do everything, or we're going to come up with some additional sources of revenue, or some combination thereof. The doom and gloom day of reckoning, my experience with working in that community, never came. We were always able to manage and work around it, and still get good things done for that community. Maybe not everything that everybody wanted to do, but provided a sense of reality that everybody worked with and worked towards resolving on an annual basis. So, I mean, you look at these and, as Mike mentioned, our real task is going to be to get to survive to get to 24-25. And then we get a little bit more, we start getting some breathing room. As you can see, our budget projections at that time actually start going positive again. Again, this is something that we've known has been coming for quite some time. This really makes it much more apparent than just those general discussions that we've been having with regards to it. I mean, we've seen the MERS actuarials that said, okay, here's what the numbers are going to be. Here you can see it inserted into the overall budget with everything else that we've got going on to see what the impacts are. And yeah, some of those numbers are pretty discouraging, especially, you know, if we're looking to maintain our 25% fund balance goal, or maybe, you know, maybe we'll talk about changing that. Maybe we'll go to 20 or 15% for a couple of years until we get past that. Those are all discussions that we'll need to have going forward.
The other thing I was sort of wondering is, sometimes I've seen those using all these spreadsheets, but the cover sheet is like a dashboard, so you could easily, you know, put a number in or move a slider, and you see something that's quite visual that helps us, you know, better. There's a lot of numbers, it's hard to make sense of it, better conceptualize visually how to test different things. Let's see if our revenue goes up a little bit more, how does that affect it? If we can, you know, affect our capital improvements plan a little bit, you know, what does that do to our bottom line over that period of years?
Well, I think the capital improvements program is your options. The rest of the figures are manpower and equipment you need to operate the city. You know, that builds a skeleton. The capital improvement plan goes on that skeleton, and those are the items you really want to look at to look at as variables. Like I say, the others are just, you know, you got DPW, they plow snow, they do this and that, police, you know, and the capital is where it's at, capital improvement plans.
Right.
These are not just static pages of numbers that are typed on these. These are all based on spreadsheets and calculations and formulas. And one of the things that Mike's going to be doing over the winter months after he leaves here and heads to warmer climates, which some reason likes to do this time of year, he's going to be transferring some of the existing spreadsheet data from one type of spreadsheet to another. So when he gets that completed, we'll be able to take some of these areas and create some line charts or some pie charts or something like that, so it's not just displayed this way where we can see the actual numbers, but people can actually see a trend or something that in a visual sense might be more appealing to them as well too. Some of the other models that we looked at, I got Mike recently a copy of the current Fenton financial forecast plan, and it has many of those elements in it with regards to it. We haven't taken this to that point yet. We want to make sure we get the numbers in the system right and give you a taste of what we're looking at. But I can see those enhancements coming forward, and I can see the usefulness for that as well, too.
That's at no cost to the city.
So bottom line is what we think, Mike, is contractually to do this is a great tool for our department heads. It's a great tool for you and the city. It's money well spent because it just gives us more accurate detail of futuristic layout of our planning.
Correct. And, you know, hopefully this is going to be a great tool for the city commission as well, too, as when we get into our budget discussions and things of that nature, or we talk about a major project or a major capital outlay or different priorities, this will allow us to model some of those things as well, too. Or when we look at wage increases or, you know, various, you know, revenue sharing, things of that nature, what those differences could mean to us as well, too. I mean, in some respects, there's a lot of pieces that are coming together at this time. I just shared with the commissioners before this meeting this morning a report that we got from the University of Michigan, their close-up report that talks about, you know, what community leaders from across the state are sensing is the way of the financial forecast. And they're kind of saying that things have kind of lagged out for the last 2 or 3 years, kind of stagnated, and whether continuing progress is going to be made. The Michigan Municipal League is working on their plans with regards to enhanced revenue sharing, and they've come up with a lot of data with regards to its financial impacts to us over the last 15 or 20 years with regards to it. And hopefully that'll be a tool that will convince the legislature to do something with regards to that as well, too. But there's a lot of information, lots of bits and pieces, and this is one of them, and tools that are coming together that I think will help us make better budgetary decisions going forward. So none of these stand alone. by themselves, but I think they're all pieces that will hopefully help us all make better decisions going forward.
I agree with you, Mike. You know, it's easy since we work on a year-to-year basis or budgets are yearly to kick the can, so to say, that we balance the budget this year and say, ooh, we did that. And then think about next year instead of thinking about this year in the context of looking forward, which this would give us a tool to do that. So I think this is definitely the right direction for us to be doing.
I agree, and it gives us, it gives the capital improvement plan some meat.
Emphasis.
Yes.
Yeah, Mike said, yeah, if we're going to affect this, we affect it with the capital.
I think that your decisions will become clear at that point in time, your options. And I think it will be understandable. I think all the background detail, I really wanted staff to understand it and look at it, and they did. And I think somebody said, or maybe I did, what do you do about budget? And I said, unless you didn't argue with me enough, I think what I projected for next year is a valid budget, real close. We took 4 years, and is it going to snow a lot? Isn't it going to snow and this and that? We averaged all those 4 years in the various categories and blended in an average year. And sure, you're going to be up and down as years go by, but if history is a chart into the future, it'll be there at the end.
I have just a question. I don't mean to go down too deep a rat hole, but
rat or rabbit?
Rabbit. So the fund expenses on page 1 of 20. So the fund expenses, is that $6,126,597?
Yes.
And then the next year it's $7,223,1920. And then next year, 2021, it says $4,352,000.
Yep.
So there's a big drop.
Yep.
So under parks, on 1920, it says $2,474,000 and then $3,000,000. Did the open space get in there twice?
The open space is part of the capital plan, yes. Tim, I guess you're more familiar. I know there was at least two phases of that in the capital plan.
The other capital that's in there is the Blaine Valley Trail project, which is a couple of
things. Okay. That makes sense. Thanks.
Yeah, but you've got a big year for park. Mm-hmm. But you look at all that project that you're getting and your bottom line general fund cost is maybe 10%, no less than 10% of that. I don't remember the exact figures, but...
Yeah, so if you look at the parks this year, coming years, we got the inflators with the pavilion project and with the trail project, and Tim has projected some revenues with regard, or excuse me, some expenditures with regards to capital outlay for the open space, and things of that nature. So yeah, there has been a lot of thought with regards to it. Have we thought of every eventuality? Obviously not. There's nothing in here with regards to if the lake raises, comes up by a couple feet, what are we going to have to do on the waterfront? I mean, that's not in here at this point. But it's a tool where we can insert it if we do need to. Things change.
So in conclusion, Mike, we thank you for a job well done. And we're still going to get, he's going to keep finalizing some numbers and does your contract continue with us, Mike? How does that work?
Eventually, our plan is to wind it down so that he can hand this off to us as well too.
Okay.
It'll be interesting in the coming fiscal year as we're looking first. We're having significant changes that we're contemplating in our treasurer's department, so there might be some additional assistance that we might need in the coming fiscal year. So, but the overall goal is to basically make this a he sets up the system, and then we operate it going forward.
Working back to me.
Yes. And as we look through it, if you have some questions like you had with regards to the parks, or you see something that you're wondering about, let Cindy or I know, and we'll try and track it down for you.
We appreciate it. We wish you well in the warmer climate. Stay in touch.
You cured my boredom.
No, there's very few people that I've seen that love to dig in the numbers like Mike does. I think there's an accountant at heart there somewhere. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I don't know if Cindy had anything she wanted to add or.
No, just I agree that it's going to be very, very helpful.
Good. Let's move on to item D, Open Space, Avalanche Parks and Rec Master Plan Public Meeting Schedule. Yes, Tim.
Thank you, Mayor. Beginning with the end in mind, we have a deadline of February 1st to complete the update of our Parks and Rec Master Plan. Two key components of the Parks and Rec Master Plan are the design of the open space and design of the avalanche base area. And we have all three of those projects kind of going on concurrently together with Beckett and Rader. So this memo just simply outlines the meetings that are required in order to solicit the necessary public input and get the approvals of both the Parks and Recreation Commission and the City Commission in advance of that February 1st deadline.
Is the February 1st deadline in conjunction with deadlines for state applications for grant money?
It is specifically the MDNR Trust Fund, which would be one that we will pursue for one or both of the open space or avalanche projects.
Okay. Any further comments from staff or the public?
So since we have this we have these meeting schedules coming forward. We anticipate that we probably have a quorum of the city commissioners that would want to attend that. We thought it would be important for the commission to adopt, especially those public input sessions on January 9th and February 13th, and the schedule overall going forward.
Thank you. So, you want to start?
I'm good.
Okay. Ron?
I'm good with the dates.
Yep, I'm in favor, and I commend you, Tim, and staff for being on a pretty tight timeline. These are big ticket items, and here we go. So, thank you. Looking for a motion?
Yes. Move to approve the scheduled meetings for the open space property designs, the avalanche property designs, and the Parks and Recreation Master Plan update as presented.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to item E, International Property Maintenance Code Work Session. Scott?
Thank you, Mayor. As we last discussed, the commission will set up a work session to review the International Property Maintenance Code. And as part of that review, we'd like to have Don Gilman, the returning officer, and also an expert in building and enforcement of codes, and be able to help discuss that issue and questions that we have. So, trying to juggle these stats, trying to figure out what dates and work for everybody. We previously talked about the 6th. Mr. Gilman's not available on that date. Then in my memo, I recommend the 16th. The chamber dinner is on that night, so Mr. Gilman's also available on the 21st of January. And proposed at 5:30 is given, but if you want another time, we're happy to accommodate that. So it's my recommendation to set that work session for Tuesday, January 21st.
Okay, any other comments? Staff? Public? Eight words from me, I believe. Does work, dates work for you guys? Do you have a paper, sir?
I'm good with it.
Okay.
Do we need a motion?
Yeah, yes.
I'd make a motion we schedule an International Property Maintenance Code work session for Tuesday, January 21st at 5:30 p.m.
Second.
Okay. No further discussion.
Solomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to item C from the consent agenda, approval of the creation of the new four-year retirement vesting period. You brought that up. You want to make a comment?
Mike, could you just explain it a little bit more? Yeah. I'm not familiar with it.
Sure. With some of our department heads that we've negotiated with, bringing on board, especially people that had previous experience, we've done some deviations with regards to various conditions of them. Being non-union, that's fairly easy to do. One of these deviations was regard to negotiations for our current executive director for the Main Street program, Kelsey. We looked at a different vesting period for our MERS program, which is the defined contribution program for all our new hires. The standard has been 7, but for a couple of our employees that have had previous work experience and were more professional track on their careers, we've negotiated shorter time periods, such as the 4 years that we're looking at here. There's a paperwork catching up that we're trying to do that hadn't been done at the time that she was hired. All the contributions have been made, so there isn't any real financial implications. Just, you know, if Kelsey decided to take a job elsewhere, she would have vested. She will have vested once she has had 4 years of seniority with us here.
Thank you.
Well, any other questions, commissioners? So, looking for a motion.
I make a motion to approve the creation of the new four-year retirement vesting period for the Main Street Executive Director's position and authorize the city manager and city clerk to execute the required documents.
Second.
I have a second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Solomon?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Go to the order. Anything on that?
Good.
I would echo Mike's sentiments. I wish everyone happy holidays and staff enjoy your time off for the holidays. And up to the announcements, the city offices will be closed Tuesday, December 24th and 25th. In observance of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, the city offices will be closed Tuesday, December 31st and January 1st for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Our next regular will be January 14th. The regularly scheduled one on Christmas Eve is canceled, so we will meet again on January 14th. Anything else, commissioners? At this point,
Mike, can you drop these on my? Do we pass these out, or were these yours? Or I'm not sure what this is.
All right. Please. I don't know what all I gave you there. Parks Capital Plan is reaching, sidewalks and police.
Should Mike have that rather than me?
Yeah. Commissioners, he was kind of circling back on that. We've got all the charts and things, the supporting documentation for that. If you're ever curious and would like to come and take a look at it, Cindy or I'll have it, and we'd be glad to go through that with your. It shows you the breadth of it. It takes a while to absorb. That's the one thing I'd want.
Anything else? It is 1:09. I will make a motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thanks, sir.